When an idea lives far beyond its birthplace, it transforms into something legendary. Here we call this the Chief's Kingdom, the expanse of those that define the Chief's spirit. Anchored smack dab in the middle of the United States, this kingdom has no earthly boundaries. From its Midwestern roots, it grows. It covers plains and deserts, rolls over seas and mountains, and rushes right into our hearts. It spans generations, races, creeds, until it finally touches the rugged landscape of our hopes and dreams. This kingdom was not built on stone or mortar, no. It was modeled on the stories of sport and valor. And each year, new chapters are etched into this never-ending saga. 20, 15, 10, touchdown! And although there is one special place called home, wherever you hear the thunder of red and gold, wherever a hero is remembered, or another one born, wherever the will of people give life to the game, welcome, neighbor. You're in the Chief's Kingdom.
Well, America in the early 1980s was a different America. We were a country on the move. America was very active in space exploration. We were coming out of a deep economic recession. And then, of course, football had passed baseball as the real national pastime. And in terms of what we call in journalism a human interest story, there came the story of Joe Delaney. It didn't take long for us to say, this is an international story. There was something that touched almost everybody in the deepest marrows of their being.
In 1981, in the NFL draft, Pete Rozelle goes up to the podium. I don't think anybody knew about this kid from Louisiana and a Northwestern state, some small little school, just a dot on the map. That was about to change.
Joe Delaney was not from a large school. He's got only 5'10", 184. That's a little bit undersized for an NFL running back. He had been a tremendous track star in high school, too, running the 100-yard dash in 9.4. That was almost unheard of. Nevertheless, the draft is always a gamble. We might have picked someone else if they had still been on the board, but thank goodness they weren't, so we picked Joe.
Success in the NFL is never a guarantee, and it certainly wasn't for Joe Delaney. The small-town background and slight build of this Louisiana speedster would make his number a punishing target for any opposition. From the first snap of the ball, it was clear Joe Delaney had much to prove.
Not only was he the underdog, I mean, he was a little bitty guy, and you saw him when he came in, you're just wondering, how is this guy going to survive in a land of giants? But when Joe came in during practice, you could just see that, you know, this guy might be something special.
He said, I got to put food on my table, and that's the way he played. I mean, he was a second-round draft pick, but he was hungry. Even though he went to a small school, I think he realized that he had a gift, and that gift was his speed, his ability, his power, his grace, and his talent. He wanted to show everybody in his hometown that this little guy that grew up in Louisiana could go on and make something of himself and be a very, very special player in the National Football League. And I think he proved that.
In that era, you look at Cliff Branch, Willie Gault, Ron Brown, Darryl Green as the fastest guys in the NFL. I tell you what, I would put Joe against any of them.
Lester Hayes from Oakland right away compared him to Tony Dorsett. There was comparisons to Billy Sims, and he was getting mentioned in the same circles as these really big backs. George Rogers went to the Saints in the first round. Everybody thought it was going to be George Rogers, but it was Joe Delaney that was making the headlines.
And here was this kid who'd burst on the scene almost literally out of nowhere. A small, nothing college in Louisiana. Wasn't a nothing college at all if he could produce a Joe Delaney.
The way he ran, I felt like he had a chance to be one of the best of all time. I felt like he had a chance to be a Hall of Famer, a Gale Sayers, a Barry Sanders even. He ran that well and that punishing. But also just his story was the kind that connected with people. A kid that didn't seem to care for any of the glory, the money, the jewels. What he wanted, it seemed to me, was to help people and just run through holes.
There was an intensity about how he played, and it did make a difference who we played. He was a hard runner.
Yeah, he was gritty. He wasn't afraid of contact. He was a tough guy, but he loved to get out in the open space and do what he did best.
And I believe that track became a really big key, because Joe just would come out of a track stance and off he'd go. And from that point going forward, it was a track meet. He was more like McCluster in his style and how he ran. He was quick like McCluster. He had breakaway speed. He could get downfield. When Joe touched the ball, there just seemed to be this electricity in the air that something special was going to happen.
And when you watch Joe Delaney run at home, you'd come away from the stadium and think, golly, that was, I got to go back just to watch Joe run.
I remember the first year I went to Arrowhead, the most beautiful stadium I'd ever seen, and also the loudest. And with the red and the white, it was like sort of artful hell for a Broncos fan. And when Delaney had the rock and he had a hole, it was goosebumpy, even for people who hated the Chiefs.
Even in the short time that he played, I think everybody who ever watched him play and perform knew that he was a great player.
He had this attitude, every day I'm going to walk off the field, I want to be, if it's only a little bit, that much better, that's what I'll try to be.
He was always the first person to the stadium, just because his mindset was, I'm here to work, I'm here to get my business done, and that's just the mindset he had.
It sure is fun to watch a player of outstanding ability with outstanding work habits succeed so much, but I realize more and more with each passing game what an outstanding talent and person Joe Delaney was.
It was 1981. Denver was in town at Arrowhead. It was a very windy day, overcast. Joe had come in to the game, and he didn't do very well. The Denver defense, known as the Orange Crush back then, was just, they wanted to get this little guy. They were totally honing in on Joe because they thought they could do some damage because he was such a small guy.
Delaney the rookie is going to make mistakes as you go along, and he's had one of those days today. Just give him time. He's a rookie.
It was just kind of typical of how the game was going. I mean, it was a good physical game, but Joe was getting beat up pretty good. And, you know, you could just see that there was no quit, no quitting whatsoever. The moment he got the ball coming out of the backfield, you could almost feel the hair on the back of your neck standing up because there seemed to be some electricity. And all of a sudden, bang, off he goes.
Bill Kenny hands it off to Delaney. Big hole off the left side. He's at the 20, 25, 30. He'll go all the way. He's at the 45, 50, 45, 40, down the left side. Nobody will touch him to the 10, 5. Touchdown, an 82-yard run by Joe Delaney.
What did I tell you? He's going to be one of the stars in this league for years to come.
This was the game in his rookie year that Joe Delaney became a star.
That was vintage Joe Delaney.
Going down in Louisiana, baby, behind the sun.
Joe was not like most athletes I've covered. You know, he was just a small town guy from Louisiana who seemed to care about his town. He used to mow this old lady's lawn in his neighborhood every week without being asked. He just knew she couldn't do it. He'd take his paycheck and just throw it on the counter for his wife, and she'd always say, "Don't you want anything for yourself?" He goes, "Nah, you just take care of yourself and the girls."
My Joe was a very kind Joe. anybody that met Joe know that he was just a kind-hearted, free spirit, very good, loving guy.
Probably the best teammate you could have. Could barely understand him because he was from Louisiana and down in the deep south.
Joe was stone country, and anybody that played ball with him knew how country he was. He talked country. He did everything country. We had a guy that was a great wide receiver. His name was JT Smith. Well, JT was country.
And they would be talking, and we would just look and try to understand what the two of them were saying, and it was just their own language. I had a hard time understanding a lot of what was happening.
Ryan, that 82-yard touchdown play, how you get through that hole so much?
Well, it was really a slant play, you know, and every time we get in the eye, they'll think we were going to run a sweep, so they thought pursuing outside, and it was a slant, and I had a cutback, and I broke one tackle, went no bad in the secondary.
Are you as fast as you look, as quick as you look?
Yeah.
Everybody liked Joe. You couldn't find anybody that didn't like Joe Delaney because you knew that when you went out on the field, you were going out on the field with a pro.
I was a ball boy when he came into the team. And as a ball boy, I had a chance to really get to know all the players. And Joe was incredibly quiet, and he spoke in some kind of Cajun drawl that was very hard to understand.
Yeah, it's pretty well. I wanted it, you know. I just went on, you know. I was thinking about me against him. I think I had to get more yard and catch up with him.
Bet you perform on a bet to get to play, you know, just can't come in.
I remember the first time watching him at training camp run the ball. I was like, wow, I've never seen somebody that fast. Once the season got rolling, he immediately burst onto the scene. And if they can't catch you, they can't hurt you. Joe proved that in his rookie year.
In just 10 starts, Joe set 4 franchise records, was named the AFC's Rookie of the Year, and started in the 81 Pro Bowl. Joe Delaney had made his name known.
I think this guy would have been the sort of running back we remember forever.
To think that he would be remembered for his playing ability, I think maybe that's selling him short. I think he would have been a Hall of Famer for sure because he had that ability.
This was the poor kid from Louisiana who had prevailed because he had a heart as big as a locomotive. Clearly, he had ahead of him even greater stardom.
Chiefs Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs. Joe Delaney, an undersized running back whose stature was overcome by his heart. This playmaking underdog tore through America's headlines on a certain path to eternal stardom. But on a quiet summer day in 1983, the unyielding spirit Joe had shown on the field and in the community would change the course of a franchise, a sport, a nation.
In Monroe, Louisiana, late today, police said that a man identified as Joe Delaney, star running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, drowned trying to rescue a child. Witnesses said Delaney jumped into a lake in a public park when he saw 3 youngsters in trouble. Delaney and the 11-year-old boy he was trying to aid drowned. Another youngster is reported to be in critical condition.
I do remember the day that this story came across. It was something that touched almost everybody.
When we found out Joe Delaney died, a guy that we thought we were going to be covering for the next 10 years, I remember even as a Bronco fan, you're like, wow.
It was almost as if you were just frozen when you heard about it, and you thought that it was a joke.
You ask yourself, what would you do in that situation? And if you have to think about it, then you know you're not going to do the right thing. But he never thought about it. The thing that was on his mind was, I need to save these kids.
Well, we got the call, the Monroe Police Department did, at about 1:28. We got the call that there had been a drowning at Chenault Park. 3 children had went to the pond to swim across it, and 2 of them had gone down and not come up.
It was a murderously hot day in Louisiana.
Joe Delaney was sitting 75 yards away under a tree. He was looking on at these kids who were walking into this pond. And they disappeared under the water abruptly. And Joe, who was unable to swim, dashed out to try to save them. He managed to save Marty, but he and the other two boys drowned.
True to the core of his nature, nothing could stop Joe Delaney from helping others in need, even at his own peril. The Hope of Houghton drowned along with Joe and the two boys that day, leaving a kingdom devastated and a nation moved.
What do you say about a guy who gave up his life for complete strangers? What do you do? How do you honor someone like that? Joe Delaney's a hero for what he did that day. That's what kind of guy Joe was.
He did the right thing. He put himself at risk for somebody else. What more can you ask of a person?
It didn't surprise me. You know, when you first hear about it, you say, yeah, the guy died of a tragic accident, he drowned. But then when you figure that he was trying to save some kids' lives, God was calling him home, I guess.
In the wake of this untimely loss, grief was spared by no one. An incident so traumatic and chilling, for a time it seemed even the living had not survived.
One of the boys that was there, Marty, had not been mentioned in the news accounts that day. I wondered what Marty had done with, you know, basically the gift that Joe had given him, which is the gift of life and saving him. And I found out that he was in prison. Marty was given a second chance. He had not taken advantage of it.
The guilt must have been overwhelming. Why did Joe Delaney save only him? Joe Delaney gave up a hell of a life for this kid.
True opportunities are a blessing. Second opportunities are truly rare. Nothing could bring back this town's hero. But deep in the chief's kingdom, a spirit of remembrance would flourish to honor the man no one could forget. Great in heart, great in courage, Joe Delaney made the ultimate sacrifice to save the life of a boy who couldn't handle the gift. But those who know Joe best know that wouldn't matter. Joe left his world a spiritual legacy that would live on wherever there is a chance for good. In Monroe, the son of the boy he saved diligently works toward a future. In Wisconsin, Joe's courage inspires a life's work. In his hometown, a mother of three strives to see him properly honored. And all throughout the chief's kingdom, Joe is remembered, loved, cherished. No player since has worn 37 in red and gold, honoring the legacy, the player, the legend.
We need to remember Joe because we have to remember why we're here. You can accomplish the greatest things in the world. You can be the AFC Rookie of the Year. You can be a starter in the Pro Bowl. You can be the fastest kid in Louisiana. And it doesn't matter if you don't really know what you were meant to do. And that to Joe meant doing everything you can to help your fellow man. We have to learn from him and let that legacy live on.
You know, I think we need to remember Joe Delaney because so much goes wrong, and all you hear about in the 24-hour news cycle is the idiots who screw up. There are great people in the NFL, and Joe Delaney may have been the greatest.
You want to do the right thing. You always hope that when your moment comes, you remember somebody like Joe Delaney. The phrase role model is overworked in the modern vernacular, but apt. When you apply to Joe Delaney.
There are other folks out there who need help and need support, whether it's your time, whether it's a smile on your face, whether it's given to a charity. It doesn't take much to change somebody's outlook on life. And in doing that, we all can be a part of what Joe Delaney's legacy was.
Joe would always say, you know, to himself, with the kids and everybody in the neighborhood, if it's something that you dream of doing, you know, just put your heart into it and work real hard, and you can accomplish anything that you set your mind and your heart to do. If there's anybody out there that really wants to do something, just think about Joe. He came from nowhere, and he made something out of himself.
Chief's Kingdom is brought to you by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And the University of Kansas Hospital, the official healthcare provider of the Chiefs. The Chief's Kingdom is a symphony of moments, images, connections, and each snapshot tells a story of her adventure. In his day, some say Joe had the best set of wheels in the league, but all he wanted was the best wheels in his garage.
Well, Joe had this, I don't know what kind of car it was.
Baby blue Mercury Kugel, and he loved that thing almost as much as he loved me and the kids.
He splurged on every item you can possibly get on that car.
Lights hanging, sticking up on the backside of it. And he had this horn that was, I can't even explain the kind of horn it was.
Nobody could drive it. That was his car. Nobody could sit on it or touch it or anything.
He would drive up to people at camp slowly, 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 and then he banged his horn. You could just see his face, this big old smile in the car. He's just laughing because he figures he got you.
Power trap.